Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Podcast. That's an aptly named podcast, isn't it, Spencer Holbrook?
I think it is, like Austin always says, it is the most aptly named podcast you could have.
Yeah. And by the way, my nickname for you, I don't like chives. My nickname for you is Sus. And you go, why? Because I always call you Spence, so it's suspense. That's what you're going to bring to the Tim May Podcast today. I think this might be your first ever appearance on the Tim May Podcast, right?
I believe it is. I think it is. We'd have to go back in the archives, you know, all the years that you've been doing this. But I think it is the first time.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me because I love the backdrop behind you. You know, you've always been the guy, 99% of the time, you've been the guy behind the scenes for me on my podcast, the engineers, I call it, the guy, the producer, director, and key gaffer. And now people see your backyard there. It's a magnificent backyard you've got there, the arches of the huge arch portico of Ohio Stadium. You look really good. It looks like you're almost wearing it.
Yeah, it is. It kind of looks like a headdress from here. But yeah, I maintain it pretty well. I you know, trim the trees and keep that field looking nice and keep the concrete the way it should be. It's a nice backyard to have.
Yeah, I've never seen evergreen buckeye trees or oak trees or whatever those are before, but nice job on that. But, you know, obviously I came into this podcast with an upbeat kind of like approach because, you know, no matter – how Ohio State fans are going to twist and turn in the wind. The college football playoff championship game, I always call it the 2020 championship game, but that college football playoff championship game with Alabama is securely in the rearview mirror right now. It's still smoldering, I think, in a lot of the fans' rearview mirrors, but it is gone. And my guest today was right in the middle of it all that night at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens against Alabama. Just a little over a week ago, as we record this just a week ago. But, you know, he's already moved on. I'm talking about Josh Myers, the starting center for Ohio State, who has declared his intentions to go to the NFL. And he agreed to join me on the Tim May Podcast here to just talk about the past, the recent past, the long past, the year these guys went through just to get to play a season, and then moving forward now to his future. But then in past that, you know, you and I are going to come back after my conversation because we got a lot to talk about this Ohio State team. It's already times they are a-changing, right? The roster, it is a-changing for Ohio State, right?
Yeah, it looks like, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And Ohio State's going to shuffle some guys through and have some new additions and some departures, and they're still going to be a national title contender. So it seems like I said, the more things change, the more they stay the same, and that's going to be what the word of the offseason is in Columbus.
Well, we know Justin Fields is leaving, but boy, the big news for his successor, whether it's C.J. Stroud or Jack Miller, or who knows, the McCord kid could come in and make a challenge. He says he wants to do that, but the bottom line is he's going to have his left tackle back in Thayer Munford. He's going to have maybe the best tight end in college football this coming year. Jeremy Ruckert said he's coming back, and Chris Olave, who arguably, if there's a receiver better than him in the nation, you know, especially now that Devontae Smith is gone, you know, who knows who it is, but Chris Olave announced his intentions to return. So that's big news. We're going to get into that later, but those are pretty good developments for whoever succeeds Justin Fields, right?
Well, whoever has the opportunity to play quarterback is going to have the best night of their life tonight because they just found out they're getting back, like you said, an incredible wide receiver talent in Chris Olave, who could have been a first-round pick. They're getting back tight end in Jeremy Ruckert, who's going to have a long NFL career and is going to be a fantastic NFL tight end. But for him, for those two to both come back, and then you look at the running backs that are coming in and the running backs that are coming back, you look at the offensive line that's coming back with both your tackles and some experience in the middle. Whoever's playing quarterback on that roster is going to have some fun next year. I'll just say that.
Don't give it all away now, man. We're going to come back after this conversation with Josh Myers, and we're going to chop it up a little bit while awesome Austin Ward takes a break from the Tim May podcast. But I really appreciate, I reached out to Josh Myers because, number one, I've always thought he was a thoughtful young man. Number two, he's obviously very intelligent. But number three, you know, he's one of those guys who's really made a name for himself over the last two seasons and is going to be, I do believe, a pretty good, pretty high draft choice when the draft rolls around, the 2021 draft rolls around. But I wanted to get him before he got immersed into that workout for the biggest day of his life, the day he runs 240-yard dashes back-to-back, and people determine whether or not he's first-round material. But without further ado, here's my conversation with Josh Myers. And as promised, ladies and gentlemen, big-time guest here on the Tim May podcast. I get a lot of big-time guests like Eddie George, Orlando Pace, Urban Meyer, people like that. But I'm extremely excited to have this fellow on because all through the football season, we didn't get to have one-on-ones with Ohio State football players like we usually do because of the COVID-19 situation. But Josh Myers, former center for Ohio State football, welcome to the Tim May podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. God, that sounds weird, former. God, yeah. That sounds weird.
It's like that, man. Life moves quick.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, before we get into talk about a lot of things, I got to ask you the straight-up question. Are you over it yet? Will you ever be over what happened January 11th at Hard Rock Stadium, Ohio State versus Alabama?
I am not over it, and I'm not sure that I ever will be. It was just an absolute, you know, pleasure and an incredible experience to be able to play in that game. You know, it's something that I looked forward to and wanted to do in college and really my whole life. So it was a really cool experience, but it would have been a whole lot cooler of an experience if we would have just won the thing. So I'll look back on it fondly, but I don't think I'll ever be over it.
You know, is it strange to use, you sit here right now, you're down in the Dallas, Fort Worth area getting ready because as people know by now, you announced that you're headed to the NFL, and good luck to you, by the way, but, and now you're down there, I guess, in a training situation. I'm sure that I don't know what's going on. Why are you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? Explain to people.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for starters. And, it's a whole process, really. I'm trying to get everything done that needs to be done in a short period of time. So that involves offensive line training that I do with Duke Mannyweather. And O-line masterminds. And then I also am working out at Michael Johnson Performance in Dallas and, you know, preparing for the combine and all of the things that come with it, which I think a lot of people don't realize there are so many things that come with that and the preparation. So I'm going to be spending the next couple months down here getting ready for that.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about how stupid the combine stuff is in a minute. We'll get to that. But is it strange to you that this year that you just went through, that y'all fought for this season and you got it and it was taken away and then you got it again and you even had COVID once and had to miss a game and stuff. Is it strange that, hey, man, that's in your rearview mirror now? I mean, what a year, but it's over.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe, to be honest with you. The last 4 years went by dangerously fast.
Yeah.
Like it's scary. It's scary how fast it went by. So it is, it's weird. Someone stopped me the other day. I was at Cabela's in Dallas and someone stopped me and asked me if I played. And I had to, for the first time, I was like, oh, I used to play for Ohio State. I had an Ohio State shirt on.
Yeah.
And it was super weird. The turnaround, you're right. Like you said, everything fighting for the season. It was almost hard this year to kind of stop and appreciate the fact that we were playing in the season and everything that came with it. Cause it was just such a fight and such a grind all year long to get to where we ended up that I never really got to enjoy the fact that it was my last season, you know, no senior day. So yeah, it happened fast. It was a very quick turnaround.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, yeah, no senior day. I mean, the end of the season was just so strange. The Michigan State situation, you know, you didn't get to play there. Then the Michigan game is, I mean, that had, as you were going through it, was it surreal? I mean, how would you describe it to somebody when you were in the midst of all that, especially, you know, I'm talking about the whirlwind that was the last month or so of it.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy, crazy. I mean, I don't even know how to like put into words what it was like. You just never, college football has always been something that's been so, so certain. Our schedule it's our schedule and it never changes year round every day. I could tell you exactly what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just get so used to that structure and so used to the flow of it. And then it was just so abruptly changed. You never knew what was going to happen. You didn't know if we were going to practice that day. You didn't know if we were playing that week. You know, we got the Team Up North game canceled. We didn't know if we were going to be in the Big Ten Championship after, you know, having the team that we knew we had.
Yep.
It was chaos. I don't know. Don't know how else to describe it other than chaos.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. In other words, you almost couldn't plan a meal, you know. I mean, you never know when the phone call is going to come. You know, you described quite aptly your fight with COVID, or at least it wasn't necessarily your fight with COVID, but just going through having to be isolated for 10 days was crazy and stuff. And as you look back on it now, I'm going to ask you just one last thing about that, Josh. Did the Big Ten get it right or not right, you think, the way they handled it? What, from the inside out, as you look back on it now, what's just your take on the way the Big Ten handled the situation?
Yeah, I don't think they handled it poorly. I think that they genuinely had what was best for the student athletes in mind at the time, like especially during the cancellation. And I understand where they were coming from. They didn't know, you know, that at the time we really still did not know very much. And I know we don't still, but we know a whole lot more now than we did in August. And so I understand where they were coming from. I get it. And I know that they were looking out for what they thought was our best interest. And I appreciate that as a player. So, you know, I don't think they did a bad job. I think bringing the season back was also the right thing to do. And we appreciate, I know as players, we appreciated the rules that were set, although it made it hard at times. Again, it was just something that was in our best interest. And as players, it can be, you know, it's hardest at times as players because, you know, you're just like, let's just play.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going out into the public. We're not endangering the public in any way. If we get it, we really, you know, it'd be unfortunate. We don't want to have it, but we want to play football more than anything in the world. So,
yeah,
it was a delicate situation, but I think that, I don't think they handled it poorly, to be honest.
Gotcha. All right. I'm not going to ask you about Devontae Smith. Is he a legit Heisman winner? I think everybody knows the answer to that now. Alabama, blah, blah, blah. That game is done, baby. You got to the championship game. To win it, you got to be in it. So y'all had a shot. Y'all got the shot you wanted. Life doesn't always turn out the way you want it to. But do you give you and your teammates kudos for finding a way to get in? And obviously, your administrators, I mean, like, Gene Smith and all Christina L. Johnson, the new president of Ohio State, are fighting to give y'all at least that shot. You follow my drift?
Yes, I do follow your drift. Yeah, it was 100%. I agree with you. There were so many people that worked so incredibly hard to even get us to that opportunity, to that moment, to even be able to perform in the CFP. It was just a long, hard fight that I don't think the average fan can quite grasp what all we had to go through to get there and the sacrifices that were made. It was awful. It was awful, the sacrifices that we had to make to get to where we wanted to go. And it made our team closer because the players knew we were in it together. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It sucked to have to go through it, but at least we did it together. So yeah, I was just so happy for our team to get there. And I've never been as close with a team as that team was. We were incredibly close.
Dude, but boy, did you get a slice of life though, those last three games of the year, the second half of the Northwestern game, when even Ryan Day said, oh my goodness, Trey Sermon's running like Keith Byers or Eddie George and Josh and Wyatt and Nicholas Pete Freer. And what was it? Matthew Jones on your left. And, you know, and, they're mowing these guys away, I'm talking about the second half of that Northwestern game through the end of the Clemson game. I've never seen an offense play like y'all did against Clemson. I've been covering Ohio State for a long time. I'm talking about it in a meaningful game. And then the big drop off at the end, you lived life, didn't you, in those three games?
Yeah, that's
you know.
Yeah, they everyone says that sports are a great teacher about life, and I would say that those three games would be the perfect example. Yeah, there's ups and downs and twists and turns just like the rest of the year, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll look back at those three games just so fondly for the rest of my life, cuz I mean those were really the, you know, that's why you play, is to play in those games and to live in those moments and to go through it together. So I'll smile forever when I look back on those.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I hear people all the time say sports is a metaphor for life. And I go, you know, for guys that play sports, it's not a metaphor for life. For guys who play sports and coach it, it is their life. You know what I mean?
That's
like being a movie actor. Yeah, you're a metaphor when you're playing somebody else in a movie, but that is your life, you know? And it's like, make the most of it. Not every movie you make is going to be a hit, but no one's going to forget that Clemson game, no matter what happened in that Alabama game. I'm just telling you that right now. I've been around long enough to know what people remember and what they forget, or let's put it this way, put it in the backside. But, you know, when you finally made that decision, didn't surprise anybody that you decided to go to the NFL because you had a chance to really to go last year, at least to ponder that last year, opted to come back and stuff. But did it feel like when you made the decision this time, did it feel like the day you committed to Ohio State, was there any other or did it just feel natural? Now's the time to go.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that played into it. At this point, I'm 22 years old. If I came back for next season, I would be playing next season at 23, and I wouldn't play my first NFL game until I was 24. So that's part of it. 24 is a bit of a late start in the league. So that was definitely part of it. Another part of it was, like, last season, I had a great year. I had a ton of fun, and I just wasn't ready to go. Mentally, emotionally, I just wasn't ready to make that leap yet. I hadn't prepared myself for that yet. The only focus that I had was college and doing the absolute best that I could in college and living it up and having a great time with my boys playing football. And then, you know, as the season ended, I just wasn't ready for that leap yet. I wasn't prepared. You know, I didn't have an agent. I didn't have my eyes set on any agencies where I wanted to train. There's just so many moving pieces that I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to come back and play next season and get all that stuff sorted out and, you know, have one more season with my boys, with my brothers. And I think that was the best decision I could have made. But the end of this season, I was just so much more prepared, and I just felt like I was mentally, physically, and emotionally ready for this next step. So it just made sense.
I was going to say, man, and you don't have to respond to this, but I think that one of the things that got you guys through this whole COVID challenge, this pandemic challenge, I think a lot of things happened for a reason, almost like serendipity. And I thought you coming back, you know, you're one of those stalwart, strong dudes. I mean, mature beyond your years, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. But I just think leadership of guys like you or what helped Ohio State get through this, you know, that thing, and get back to a chance at a national championship. And and like I said, you don't have to respond to that, but boy, in challenging times, you need leaders, man. And, you know, besides yourself, I mean, give me one other guy before we move on. Give me one other guy that you thought really stepped up. A bunch of you guys did. But give me one other guy that just surprised you, maybe the way he stepped up in a leadership role this past season to help you guys kind of weather the storm.
Yeah. Well, for starters, I really appreciate you saying that. That means a whole lot to me. And you're right. There were a ton of guys who really stepped up. There were so many leaders on our team this season. First guy that comes to mind to me, and like how he played in the late latter half of the season, the late stretch of the season is no surprise. But Justin Hilliard, Justin Hilliard, I mean, he's a six-year guy. He's seen it all. He's been through everything. And, you know, he was just one of those guys that, you know, anyone could talk to him in the locker room, whether you're, you know, 6 years younger than him and a freshman, or you're, you know, fifth-year senior or whatever. He's just an incredible person and leader. And we, our whole team leaned on him. I mean, our leaders leaned on him even. At times, because, you know, I mean, people don't realize this, but we didn't see our families. I still haven't. I still haven't seen them. They had to fly home after the Alabama game, and I didn't get to see them at the stadium after the game. And I went back to my hotel, went to bed, woke up, and flew to Dallas, and I still haven't seen them. So
wow,
yeah. I mean, you know, everyone was at home on Christmas with their families hanging out. Not any Ohio State football players, man. We were in Columbus, just sitting there.
Yeah,
we were with our families. So,
same thing. You went caroling, didn't you? I'm just joking.
All right. Yeah.
But seriously, after that game, you know, I just had this vision of you guys. The game's over. The season's over. Masks off. But that wasn't the case at all, was it?
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah. Hey, well, anyway, let's get right to it. I mean, so your plans, you've mapped this out now. Whereas a year ago, you probably were going to go into this blind. You've had a whole year to prepare for how you're going to prepare for the draft. And like I said, you know, the two most important 40-yard dashes of your life, right? And then you'll probably never run another 40-yard dash. But do you all of a sudden feel like you're in a business? I mean, what's the feeling like suddenly, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's weird because you transition from, as a player, I've spent my whole life as a player very much doing whatever I was told and whatever I was asked to do. And that's something that I'll continue to do when I am playing in the NFL. If the coaches need me to do something, I'm going to do it. Yeah. I don't think that'll ever change. That's hardwired into me. But it does. You do feel a whole lot more like a business when you get into, like, I'm not a part of a team right now and I'm trying to sell myself to teams. It's, you know, it's not so much like, you know, getting recruited in high school, the teams are selling themselves to you. Yeah. Now I'm selling myself to teams, and, you know, I have agents, but really my agents work for me. I don't work for them. And same thing with the people that I'm training with, really, they work for me. I don't work for them. It's just a very weird process that it's going to take some getting used to, because I'm just not used to it. I'm so used to, you know, standing up straight up, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's a weird thing. It's hard to explain as a player. It's like a complete 180.
Josh Myers Inc. or Josh Myers LLC. That's what you are now. Suddenly you've got you just named off a payroll there. You don't even know it, but you know, that's what happens when you become a pro athlete. A lot of people are doing things for you, but they expect a recompense or whatever that word is. Well, let me ask you, quickly, if Jacksonville calls on the phone on draft day, I mean, it's stunning right now, right? I mean, your former head coach, Urban Meyer, is now the head coach of Jacksonville. But I would think you'd take the phone call from anybody. You're not necessarily rooting for one person or another, right?
Yeah, this process is – this process is so different, kind of like I said, with, you know, like high school recruiting and you choosing, and to where now I'm trying to sell myself to teams. I'll answer any phone call from any one of the 32 teams and be absolutely ecstatic about it.
Yeah.
And if that happens to be Jacksonville, then, you know, I'm back with Coach.
And Ryan Stamper.
Yeah, and Stamp, yeah. And
Anthony Schlegel. I know you've met Anthony Schlegel, now the strength coach.
Yeah. He's a great dude. It is. It's crazy. I've already thought about what those meetings are going to be like when I meet with them, because I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
It's going to be such an interesting dynamic. I'm going to have a hard time not smiling, to be honest.
Of course.
I just, that's my game for so long.
That's my game face, coach. That's my game face. You know, yeah, right. Hey, are you glad you switched to center? I mean, as you look back on it now, has it given you, do you think, like I said, when people look your name up in your resume on draft day, they're going to see a guy, you know, that some people thought could have been a great guard, at least in college football, who switched to center. Now you have both of those on your resume, like Michael Jordan did, like Corey Linsley, you know, right on down the line, like Billy Price. Are you glad? You got that experience? Let's put it that way.
I'm more than glad I got that experience.
Is that what you think people are going to look at you as? What's your take on that? Go ahead.
I think it'll depend on the team. I think it'll depend on the team and the needs of the team. I think that I'll definitely get looked at for guard as well as center.
Yeah.
I love both positions. And really the thing I love about center is that it taught me how to look at the whole picture. One of the things that as a young guy I really struggled with was, okay, I'm left guard on this play. I know what the left guard has to do on this play. But I couldn't see the whole picture and how that can change based on what the defense is doing. I couldn't fathom that. And when I moved to center, I was forced to see all the whole picture. And now I know what the running back's doing. I know what the tight end's doing. I know what all five linemen are doing. I know where the quarterback's setting up to throw. You know, all of those different moving pieces I know in my head. And really it changed the way that I look at football. And, now I can take that with me to the NFL. And if I play center in the NFL, then great, I have that experience. If I play guard, now I have that knowledge. And yeah. I'll look at the defense the same way I would as if I were a center. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It's that you can't really buy that kind of experience. And and then on top of it, you know, you've got video. Like Kirk Barton's one of my good friends, you know, even though he has another – website which we compete with, but you know, he and I used to talk all the time about just the experience you get in Ohio State in some of those big time games of going against guys that you'll be playing against in the league. You know, they have video. You know, they have video of you against Clemson, against Alabama, against Clemson last year. You know, against big time teams in the Big Ten, and that's invaluable, isn't it?
It is. It is invaluable. I think it's invaluable for a couple reasons. I think that the NFL teams can see me playing against legitimate talent and guys who are, you know, that can really play, you know, yeah. Just like, you know, I mean, and it's not just like, he played a guy who can play this week and he won't play another one for another three. It's,
yeah.
I mean, there are dudes on the field every game that can absolutely play some football. And so I think that's extremely valuable for NFL teams watching our film and understanding, you know, as Ohio State players, what we can do and what we can't do. And then as a player myself playing at such a high level, I feel like I'm just that much more ready for the next step. And I understand that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a bit of a learning curve and another step up from what I'm used to. But I feel like playing at Ohio State has prepared me much more for that than if I were to go somewhere where I was playing, you know, less talented people on a regular basis. So yeah. I feel very prepared.
As I say about it, a lot of times you're going against really good football players, even against regular Big Ten teams. But when you go against what I call prototype players, you know, like bodies, you know what I mean? Big bodies, the same you're going to see. It seems like pro scouts ought to spend a lot more time on that video than anything else, in my opinion, because that's what they're trying to draft, you know. But, hey, last thing, who should Ohio State fans or why should Ohio State fans be optimistic about this coming year? Obviously, Thayer Munford has said he's coming back. Chris Olave said a little while ago he's coming back. Jeremy Ruckert said he's coming back. All those guys had those decisions to make. Some other guys like Justin Fields have opted to leave like you have and stuff. But why should Ohio State fans be optimistic about what could come around in 2021 this season, in your opinion, Josh?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's a long answer and a short answer. I think my short answer would be, did you watch the Michigan State game? And my long answer would be that we have talent everywhere. And we have guys that you know, just take the offensive line, for instance. We have guys on our offensive line this season that would have started on – I mean, we had three or four guys that would have started on any Big Ten offense in the conference. I mean, any single one of them, and they would have – they would have started. So those guys had another year of development. They had another year of watching, you know, guys like me and Wyatt and Thayer and Nick and Harry and Matt, and they've seen all that. And they have another year of development, and they'll just be that much more ready to play. And it's not just offensive line; that's every position. So, there's a lot of things to be excited about. And Ohio State football is it's bigger than a couple players. I can assure you that it's Ohio State will be just fine without us.
What did y'all miss not having Trey in the lineup after those first two plays? And this didn't knocking anybody else who replaced him. You know, as I said, if you could have surgically taken out two players from Ohio State, Trey Sermon and Tommy Togiai, who would change sort of the dynamic of y'all's offense and defense, those would have been the two guys I would have plucked out of there. You know what I'm saying?
I personally would 100% agree. I would 100% agree. I think the 1-2 punch of Trey and Master was extremely special. I think Trey has a lot more wiggle than Master does. And and that doesn't necessarily mean better, but different. And Trey was running really well down the stretch, seeing the holes and hitting them hard and then making people miss at the second level. And just the way he was playing was massive. And it hurt bad not having him in there. And of course, you know, when they would pull Trey out and throw Master in there for some plays, man, he would make him feel it. You know, he is north and south and he was running it. So yeah, that one hurt. Not having Tommy was, that one hurt really bad. That one hurt really bad. So
what game will be on, if you could put a game on your mantle from your college career, what game would it be? Would it be the game where you guys launched Trey Sermon to 331 yards rushing and broke the 25-year school record set by Eddie George for a single-game rushing record? Would it be the Clemson game? Would it be a game I'm not thinking about? Would it be one of the games? You know, it's funny. Y'all played Clemson more times in the last 2 years than you played Michigan. That's how screwed up 2020.
Yeah, right.
But right. What would, and we'll get out of here after this, but what would be that game that you would put on your mantle?
That is an awfully tough one. Gosh, I think personally it would have to be a tie. I can't pick one. I just can't.
Okay. Yeah. I said, it's one of those trophies that's got two things on it.
Go ahead. There's two picture frames there. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the 2019 Team Up North game for me is one of them. They had a lot of steam coming into that game, and people were expecting a very close ball game. And to go to Ann Arbor and beat them the way we did, and it to be my first start and evidently my only start in the game, just made it so much more special. The amount of emphasis that we put on that game in a calendar year is just absurd. Yeah. It is absurd, and so that one has to be one of them. I can't not make it one. I mean, that game will live on in my heart forever.
Yeah.
And then also the Clemson game from this season, to lose last year the way we did to them in a game that really we should have won, and to turn around and again be the underdog and beat them the way we did was probably one of the most satisfying, just one of the best feelings I've ever had. I mean, if you could bottle the feelings up that I had during that game and sell it, you'd be the richest man on planet Earth by tenfold. I mean, I can't even express the happiness that came from that win.
Yeah. I mean, that had to put the term bawling in. It had to be, you know, if you had the term bawling in the dictionary, it'd be that game. I know for you guys on the offensive line, over 600 yards total offense against Brent Venables. Hey, by the way, before we go, how far behind is Michigan right now, in your opinion, in the game? I mean, can they make this up quickly? Well, what's your take, Josh? Now you can play.
Oh, I can answer on this now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, you asked me this 3 months ago. I'm like, well, you know, yeah, I wouldn't have been able to give you a great answer.
Yeah.
I think that the rivalry of this game, I don't think it might sound stupid to some people, but I really, in my heart, I don't believe that it's the talent gap between the two programs that are what makes it so lopsided. I really don't. I think it's the approach taken to the game. I think just from everything I've heard, you know, it's, they treat it as another game. And you hear coaching staffs all around the country say, well, you hear people say that about any game. Oh, it's just like, it's the next game. It's the next step. We don't look ahead.
Yeah,
we do. We do look ahead, and it's not just a game to Ohio State. It's something that you're taught. My first workout at Ohio State, if I remember correctly, it was after the 2016 Fiesta Bowl loss, and it was my first workout, and we did Team Up North. I think it was like 331 days, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Until the plan. And so from day one until the day you leave, I mean, it is just when the game got canceled, okay, we have the clock for days until, you know, we play Team Up North. Within 10 minutes of the game getting canceled, the clock got reset.
Wow. Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
yeah.
And it's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never, there's so many things that we do for it. When Coach Meyer was there, we would have a period during like every practice where we wouldn't do scout team for the team we were playing that week. We would do scout team versus Team Up North and their offense and their defense. It didn't matter who we were playing that week, or it didn't matter if it was spring ball. We still did it then. So I think the approach to the game is what makes it lopsided right now for Ohio State. Our approach is that it's not another game, because it's not to us.
That
game is everything. If we, you know, we could win every other game and win the national championship. If we don't win that game, that season is a failure.
It's really funny, man. You know, I've been covering Ohio State football since 1984, been around it much longer than that. And then whatever, but you know, I was there during the John Cooper years when it was 2-10-1 and when a lot of people thought it would never turn around. And now it's 17-2 the last 19 games. I mean, you know, just when you think things will never change, they do, right? I mean, so, yeah. You know, now the legacy you guys have left for the people that follow you is crazy. I mean, to live up to that. Yeah. Hey, last thing, we're out of here. I always say that. Always have one last question. But this is my last one. Is who will be the quarterback for Ohio State in 2021, the starting quarterback? Did you see enough of C.J. Stroud, Jack Miller? You haven't seen the kid coming in McCord yet, but what's just your take on who might step up first?
Yeah, that's a tough question. They both, I mean, that's a tough question for me to be able to accurately answer right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you this, you know what it kind of reminds me of? To be completely honest with you, it kind of reminds me of, And they're a little bit younger than these two guys were, so it's, you know, this is putting a lot of pressure on them, but it kind of reminds me of Dwayne and Joe, that kind of situation. It sounds crazy, I know, but I think those two guys are that talented, and I think that they both bring things to the table that are different but that are really good. And I'm not really sure there's a wrong choice there. You know what I mean? If Ohio State chose to start Joe instead of Dwayne, we would have been fine.
Yeah.
We chose Dwayne. We were fine. LSU got Joe. LSU was fine. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those kinds of situations.
Yeah. Joe and LSU, they did all right anyway.
Yeah, hey, they weren't too bad.
Josh, you're one of my favorite guys, man. I tell people all this all the time. You know, when Orlando Pace was there, I used to talk to Orlando almost every day. You know, I mean, because it was a different time, you know, and stuff. We hardly ever get to see you guys, but don't think we don't appreciate guys like you, guys who cover the team. I mean, you know, I don't cover it quite as close as I used to, but pretty close. I don't like to keep up with stuff, but, you know, it means the world to us when we do get some time with you guys, because we understand the sacrifice you guys put in this year just to play football, you know, and it wasn't just, it wasn't just for the fans and stuff. I mean, y'all did that for yourselves, you know, because y'all could have walked out of that building on August 11th and never come back, you know? I mean, so the work and the dedication y'all put in is totally appreciated. And I hope you feel that now as you get ready to move on to where you have to earn your paycheck week by week. You have to prove that you're better than that guy who's trying to take your job. You have to prove you're better than that guy, or you just ask the favor of, hey, what do I do on this play? And he tells you the wrong thing, you know? That's what you're going to miss most from college to pro, you know? But
it's a different world. But I did want to say that I really appreciate you saying that. And also, you know, like when you asked me to do this podcast, I absolutely said yes, because you guys have had our back from day one. You've had my back. And we don't get to express it much, but we really appreciate it. I really appreciate it too. So you guys are also appreciated. I hope you guys know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell my wife you said that and see what she said.
You should. There you go.
Josh Myers, ladies and gentlemen, on the Tim May Podcast. Appreciate you, Josh. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You know, Spencer, I know you and Josh go back a long way, just like I do with him. But he's an impressive young man, all things considered, correct?
Yeah, I think every conversation I've ever had with Josh, I would try and grab him a little bit and talk to him off the record, or talk to him in, one-on-one setting in 2019 before the pandemic hit and everything. And every time you talk to him, you learn something about the offensive line, or you learn something about the offense, or just the team in general. And I don't think anybody's ever had a bad thing to say about Josh Myers. And I think it's going to be harder and harder to find NFL scouts that have bad things to say about him, because he's just as impressive off the field as he is on the field.
Yeah. And he really did develop into one of the nation's elite centers. I'm very curious to see where he goes in the draft. You know, moving on from that, though, I'm just as curious. So does Harry Miller move into that spot now? What's your take on that? I mean, you know this roster as well as anybody.
The natural progression for me when I saw Harry Miller start at guard this year was, well, he's going to play guard and he's going to move to center and he's going to challenge for the Remington Trophy and become a borderline All-American and then go to the NFL, because that's the line of succession at Ohio State. When you are recruited as a center, you play guard, you play center, you almost win the Remington, or you win the Remington, go to the NFL. So naturally that would be the progression, but I do think there's some challengers there. I think Matt Jones was recruited as a center prospect. I think Luke Whipler, a high four-star guy who could step in and really make an impact on that offensive line next year. There are challengers for Harry Miller. I'm not going to pen him into that role yet. I think he'd be penciled in, but I'm not going to put in pen yet, because I think there are some guys on that offensive line where if you play him at guard, they're going to do well. If you play him at center, they're going to do well. So I think Ohio State has some options that are far from Harry Miller, but Harry Miller seems to be the leader right now.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I mean, you know, Ohio State fans, you know, don't let one game, that Michigan State game was a tough chore for Harry Miller, suddenly jumping down there into center to play for Josh Myers, who had tested positive for COVID, that week. He had a little tough time with his deep snaps and stuff, but I'm really interested, like you are, to see how that plays out. But, you know, just when you named Luke Whipler and you named Matthew Jones probably jumping right into what could be coming in 2021, he was probably as pleasant a surprise for the Ohio State coaching staff as anybody on this team the last four or five games of the year, because even against Alabama, I thought he played very well. You know, he started in place of Harry Miller at left guard, even though Harry Miller was available. And I think he really put his name up on the chalkboard. Don't you agree?
Yeah, he impressed me, because when you first look at this offensive line, I'll even go back to my first season covering the team in 2019. That offensive line was almost set, other than the tackle spot with Brandon Bowen and Nicholas Petit-Frere. Matthew Jones was never mentioned. And this year, going into the season, that tackle spot was the only one that was up for grabs, with Nicholas Petit-Frere and Paris Johnson. And so Matthew Jones had almost been, for lack of a better term, an afterthought, you know, in the depth chart of Ohio State. He was always going to be in the two deep, but never good enough to take that leap. He steps in for Harry Miller, and it looks like, you know, you got an All-American playing guard opposite of Wyatt Davis. So he was an interesting addition to the offensive line. It was a pleasant surprise, like you said. And I think he's going to play a huge role on the interior of that offensive line next year, because he seems to only just be getting going. And I think that's the trajectory that Ohio State and Greg Studrawa and Ryan Day want for those offensive linemen. They don't want them to step in and play early, because if they're playing early, that means they're doing something wrong in the development. So I think Matthew Jones is on the perfect trajectory for this offensive line.
Yeah, like you said, it also means they have some holes, you know, in their roster, when you have guys having to jump in and play early, unless, of course, they're Orlando Pace or somebody like that. But you're exactly right. But just, you know, Luke Whipler, Harry Miller, Matthew Jones, that could be still the interior of your offensive line next year, which means, you know, C.J. Stroud or Jack Miller, whoever jumps in there at quarterback. What's your take right now, man? I mean, I know the insiders, you know, want to immediately give this job to C.J. Stroud, but I'm telling you, it was curious. I know C.J. was banged up when Jack Miller went in, the first guy to relieve Justin Fields this year, but I think it's going to be a wide-open battle in the spring for that quarterback job, and that's going to be the job. That's going to be the position we're all watching through the spring. Agreed?
Yeah, and I think you can even throw Kyle McCord's name in there. You know, my first ever highlight watching of Kyle McCord was when he was a sophomore in high school. I saw a couple throws that he made, and that's all it took. It took, I think, two or three throws, and I said, this kid can start at any program in the country whenever he wants. And I'll stick by that. I think he has the tools and the ability. If he can learn the playbook from January next week, I think when they arrive, he can learn the playbook from then to fall camp, because I think this battle is going to go into fall camp. I don't think it's going to be one of those spring game decisions. I think it's going to go into the fall camp. If Kyle McCord impresses enough in spring ball and learns the playbook and gets on the same page as the wide receivers, don't be surprised to see him in some games when they're still testing the waters to find out who's going to be the starter, because I think it might even go into that first game of the year. I know you play at Minnesota. It's going to be odd to do that, but all three of these guys are supremely talented. They really are. You have an embarrassment of riches at quarterback. You haven't seen him throw a college pass yet. I think this quarterback battle is going to be fascinating, and I will even make it a three-horse race, not just a two.
Yeah, you know, I touched on it. We touched on it earlier in my intro before I talked to Josh Myers. Chris Olave coming back. Man, are you kidding me? That's like for a quarterback hitting the lottery, in my opinion, because now you'll have Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson again as probably your starting wide receivers. Jeremy Ruckert opting to come back for another year, his senior year. That was huge, too. I thought he was for sure – not for sure. Nothing's ever for sure. But I thought there was a great chance he was going to leave for the NFL. I mean, you know, even my wife was talking about Jeremy Ruckert and how making some of those catches he made late in the year, and how suddenly the tight end became another part of the Ohio State passing game. But, you know, and even at running back, you know, if Master Teague III is back, but then, you know, Mayan Williams, the guy that had to miss the Alabama game, I thought, man, he made strides big time and finally showed the public what his teammates were talking about him behind the scenes about, yes, Tony Alford, you know, might have hit a home run in getting Mayan Williams, a guy that a lot of people kind of like shrugged about when he signed with Ohio State last year. And then you got Trevion Henderson coming in. I mean, this offense could be loaded again, and it could be loaded and being launched by a really good offensive line.
Yeah, and I think it starts up front. But when you talk about the wide receivers, to have Olave and Wilson back, to have Julian Fleming another year under Brian Hartline, and to have Jackson Smith and Jigba another year under Brian Hartline, to get Emeka Ibuka, you know, into that offense and see what he can do in a role that I think will be similar to what Jackson Smith did this year. And then to have
Julian Fleming,
five capable running backs, I think, that could start, you know, Evan Pryor, even Trevion Henderson, Master Teague III. I know you like to put the third on there because you like to call him by his proper name. Marcus Crowley and Mayan Williams, like those guys, it's a loaded offense. And playing time is going to be like, you know, fighting amongst the wolves trying to get on the field, because this is an incredibly talented offense. I'm really excited. It's January 18th. I'm already excited to watch the offense go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the competition you're going to see, it's almost like you'd like to see Ryan Day just kind of toss a football up in the air, let it hit, and then tell those running backs, go for it. First guy to get it, you're the starter. That would be fun to watch, because those are all competitive dudes, man, in their own right. And then defensively, real quick, who are they going to miss the most, man? What's going to be the toughest replacement?
I think it's going to be a guy who does maybe more off the field than he does on the field, but he's highly productive on the field. I think it's Jonathan Cooper. when you have a fifth year guy who understands everything about Ohio State, you know, grew up in Columbus, had the brutal loss to Clemson, was on that roster, was, you know, picked Ohio State over every other school, has been to multiple playoffs, you know, beat Michigan every time he needed to, has seen it all, was in the locker room for the Iowa game, the Purdue game, the lowest of lows the last 5 years, the highest of highs. And he's an ultra productive, high-end talent caliber guy who can, you know, bend really well, get to the quarterback whenever you need a big play. To lose that off your defense is massive. And I think, you know, Pete Werner, Tuff Borland, those guys were huge. Sean Wade, huge for that defense.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the experience that Coop brought to the locker room, brought to the meeting room, the film room, had with Coach Jay and helping the younger guys and take him off the field from that defense, I think he's going to be very difficult to replace. And I think, you know, Ohio State's been able to replace the Bosas and Chase Young. And I think it's going to be just as difficult to replace Cooper as it was those guys, but in a completely different sense. So I think that's where I turn. I think it's the competition to replace Cooper as the leader of the defense has already started.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of who would step up and be that vocal, that guy who's, you know, no one's ever mistaken Jonathan Cooper for Chase Young, you know, from the standpoint of just that over-the-top, can't-miss defensive end, pass rusher guy. But the solidity he brought, if in fact it's the correct term, just to his position, but also as a leader. I mean, he's a guy that not only led by example, but led by vocal, you know. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys that can put both of those pieces together, and he definitely did that. So, yeah, they're going to be definitely looking for that kind of fella on the defensive side. Boy, secondary, that's a project, man. And I'm interested to see how that turns out, by the way. Coming up, and we'll be talking about that on later Tim May podcasts. But I want to ask you this. I'm curious about this one guy who's coming in, Jack Sawyer. You've known him for a while now, just like I have and stuff. Does he look like the guy that can make an immediate impact even in workouts and spring ball?
I think so. I think, you know, to commit as early as he did, to be able to talk to Larry Johnson as often as he's gotten to be able to have a relationship with Ryan Day like he does. You know, he was, you know, when Ryan Day took the job, it's like, okay, but he's got to land Jack Sawyer. That's first priority. You have to land Jack Sawyer. And he did it. And yeah. Jack has stuck with the program through a little bit of, you know, ups and downs with the loss to Clemson and everything, you know, whatever. But for yeah. him to be able to talk to Larry Johnson as often as he has and get pointers from him already and go to those camps that he got to last year before everything got canceled this year and just develop as a college athlete still in a high school uniform and to be able to see what it's like to be a Jonathan Cooper, to be a Chase Young. You know, he was at every game, it seems like, for so long. Yeah. I think he understands what it takes already. So when he steps in next week or whenever, like I said, whenever they arrive on campus here in January, I think he's going to be ready. And I think he's going to be up to the challenge. I think he's going to make an immediate impact. I think he's going to try to take some leadership reins because that's just the kind of kid he is. He can't really help himself, I feel like. And so he could be a true freshman that's trying to lead. And that's what you really want in the program is a kid that's at least trying to lead. He might not be the leader, but he's going to try to be the leader. And he's going to try and be as productive as he can. And I think he's got all the tools. You know, he's pretty well – Berm likes to say that he's pretty well polished already. You know, Zach Harrison's wasn't as polished when he came out of high school. Chase Young had to be polished. Jack Sawyer's already there. And so you just got to add to it from there, and I think he can.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Every year it seems like some of these guys come in and I'm just going, they're sophomores already. You know, I mean, they're – and I'm talking about from a maturity standpoint, from a down to business standpoint, they're not walking in. Most of these guys aren't walking in with wide eyes. I mean, they have a mission in mind. I mean, they're squinting toward that NFL, you know, they're squinting toward having a chance to play as early as possible and doesn't always work out for them and stuff. Hey, Les, but they're coming in with that kind of mind frame, real quick before we go. Like you and I talked about before we started the podcast today, more and more, this is Ryan Day's team now. What do you think? What do you think about the roster? What has Ryan Day done well in your opinion? And what does he need to quickly hold of, in your opinion, from this coming out of this loss to Alabama?
Well, I think the biggest thing that Ryan Day's done with the roster is he's completely made the offensive line one of the strongest in the country. And there were times when Urban Meyer, before I even started covering the team, when Urban Meyer would stand at the podium and say, you know, I really hope one of our offensive linemen don't get hurt this week, because they were dangerously thin when you had those 2016 and 17 offensive lines were very, very thin. Like if one guy got hurt, you're looking at the sidelines like, what are we going to do? What Ryan Day has challenged Greg Stradrawa. He's challenged the recruiting on the offensive line. He said, you know, go get those guys and make the offensive line a strength. And they have, you know, there's probably seven or eight guys that from the offensive line that could start anywhere in the country. And I think that's a testament to the roster building that Ohio State's done, the prioritization that Ohio State's had in the trenches, and, you know, even tight ends as an extension of that offensive line. And then to bring in linebackers, you know, Al Washington had a tall task reforming that linebacker room, and to have the offensive line strength that they have now, to see what Al Washington can do in molding these linebackers now who haven't really seen playing time that much into starting linebackers at Ohio State, I think that's going to be really interesting to watch. But I think that's where the steps have been taken. The defensive line was always good under Urban Meyer. Secondary was always good under Urban Meyer. The receivers were pretty good, but I think it's taken a step up. But that's Brian Hartline more than Ryan Day, I think. To have the offensive line and the linebackers be so more advanced than they were under Urban Meyer, I think that's a testament to what Ryan Day's been able to build.
Well, Suspense, thank you for joining the 10 May podcast, man. And we're going to do this more often, as you well know. I've been promising you that all along, but I'm going to follow up because I like to follow up on my promises. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure covering this team this past year. I'm looking forward to this next season. But until next week's Tim May podcast, this is Tim May for Spencer Hoberg saying, see you then.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to – has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.